Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable. With me today is Alexis Thurston, friend of the agency, personal trainer, new mom, just like super interesting, and savior, because we had a cancellation and I said to one of our staff, who is an interesting person we could get on here? And your name came up. So thank you, Alexis, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I would like to start at the beginning. And by beginning, I mean you grew up playing rugby, like hardcore rugby, correct?
Yes.
Is there rugby that is not hardcore?
No.
No. Okay. What is it about rugby? And like, you're like, are there a lot of female leagues? Like, what? Talk to me about rugby.
It's definitely growing. It used to be a lot harder to play than it is now. I actually started playing lacrosse. So I played lacrosse for about 12 years, and then
that's
there was
a long
no,
time. 12
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I started playing in like middle school because I grew up in Michigan before we moved here.
Okay,
so they had it, and I played until there was no more women's league. So Max's dad actually like organized women's league every summer, and he didn't, and so I had to find a new sport.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned Max. So Max is your person who yes. works at Prevent Ed, and Max is very big in lacrosse.
Yes.
And he coaches and does all kinds of things,
yep.
right? And so you crossed paths with him then, or did you even
yeah.
know that?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Did he have his long, luscious locks at that
he did
point?
Not.
Okay.
No.
All right. So you cross paths with Max at that point, but you go your kind of separate ways and you're doing rugby.
Yep.
So in St. Louis, are there a lot of women's rugby leagues? Like,
no, there's just one. So there's the Sabres, and they play at Forest Park, and they've been around since like, I want to say the 70s or the 80s.
Oh.
And then it's coming up in colleges now. Lindenwood has a program, obviously, and that's where I played in college.
Huh.
And then SLU and WashU have, like, club teams. But it's kind of like lacrosse. Like, when I grew up, lacrosse wasn't big, so you had to travel for it a lot. And, like, for the Sabres, we'd like, our games would be in Kansas City or Colorado.
I went to a small liberal arts college that was Irish Catholic primarily, and we had a rugby team. There was a lot of drinking with our rugby team. Is that like part of the culture, or was that just like a blip because of where I went to school, or?
Oh, it's definitely a part of the culture. At Lindenwood, it's not because they play at like a super elite level.
Oh.
But any like anywhere else that you go and play, it's pretty heavy drinking. It's like notorious in the sport.
Uh-huh. And it's also like very high contact,
yes.
correct? So I would imagine there's a lot of injury and there's a lot of like just collisions.
All the time.
Yeah. So you are tough is basically what I think. Like the video version of this podcast should have like at the bottom, like this is a tough human being. Like
I'm soft like, now.
Really? I don't think that's even true. But so then, okay, so fast forward. So you're playing, you're doing all kinds of things. And then you have a date with Max, right?
Yes.
And it seemingly goes pretty well, but then you ghost him.
Yes.
Or so he thinks. And then fast forward, you reconnect.
Yeah.
And he finds out you didn't ghost him.
Yeah.
And then now you have a baby.
Yes.
So congrats.
It's pretty crazy.
Okay, walk me through this.
So we went on probably about 2 dates. And then literally that weekend, I am playing rugby down in Springfield. I get a concussion. I come back, and my bright concussed idea was to go out to the bars. But on my way out to the bars, I was driving and drinking and got in a car accident. And then a couple of days later, I was like in the hospital. And
like in a coma,
yes,
right?
For yeah. I think like close to 2.5, 3 weeks. I don't really remember. That happens with concussions.
Right.
And I had to learn how to, like, talk and walk, and I had shattered my vestibular. And
what's that? What is
that basically? No, it's like your inner ear. So
what?
I had really bad, like, vertigo. I couldn't stand without feeling like everything was really dizzy. I didn't have, like, emotional regulation and, like, yeah, having to learn how to read and all that. And then, yeah, so that was fun. And I'm, like, still in college while I'm doing this. So, like, I went back to school the next semester, too, and was, like, it was a very rough one in my life.
Did you lose your scholarship? No.
Yes.
Oh, because I assume you couldn't play.
Yeah.
Or how do they do that? Do they just say, like, you're injured so you can't play, so we'll just, like, redshirt you or something?
So some can. It depends if you're, like, a club or, like, a, like, division sport.
Okay.
And rugby was a club sport, and so since I wasn't I actually lost my scholarship anyways because I went to go play in Kansas City for a semester and then came back and didn't have my scholarship at Lindenwood anymore. So that was my first semester back at Lindenwood, and I was playing with the Sabres at that time. I wasn't playing with Lindenwood anymore. And so
I have to tell you, when Max came in and he's telling me about you, and he's like, yeah, I mean, we went out and I thought she was really cool, but then, like, I didn't hear from her, and come to find out she was in a coma. And I go, and I, true confession, I was like, Max, it sounds like that's a lie. Like, I think she's lying to you. And he's like, no, she was in a coma. And I was like, because he had just kind of, like, been burned, you know, and I was like, let's proceed with caution,
yeah.
Max. So I imagine, but this is my naivete, like, was that a huge, like, wake-up call for you, or, like, almost dying? Or did it take a while for you to sort of make some changes in your
life? It took a very long time.
Okay.
At that point, actually, like, my substance use had gotten, like, worse.
Mm.
Because
you were recovering from your...
Yeah,
okay.
I couldn't play a sport, which was, like, the first time in, like...
And that was
like
the thing you had done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, losing identity and, like, my, you know, sport. And also, like, it's really hard to not, like, walk and talk and do all the things that, like,
you
once
take your
could
word
super
for it.
Easily do is, like, really frustrating. It's like going to grab a cup or something and, like, missing where the cup is. And it's like, it was almost like you were drunk all the time. So, for
Whoa.
Me... Then I just drank all the time because that's basically already what it felt like.
Right.
So it took a while for, like, that to line up in me to make better choices.
And you have found recovery,
yes.
right? In a path that works for you.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I know a huge part of that is physical fitness, athleticism. You're a personal trainer, as I mentioned before, but you move your body, and that really helps you kind of get those endorphins,
yeah.
right? Can you
yeah.
talk a little bit more about how, like, maybe your path to recovery, like, what works for you? And I don't even know if that's how you identify, so that's the label I'm putting on it, but how do you talk about it?
So it's kind of two things for me. It's, like, life after sport and how to still be active after you play, like, college sports, because a lot of people, like, lose identity in that and don't know who they are anymore. So it's, like, the importance of staying active for that, but also, like, being in recovery, how important, like, it is to have hobbies, and exercise is just the easiest one to, like, pick up and, quote unquote, like, you know, find your new addiction to can be, like, taking care of yourself.
Wow. I think the life after sport is really interesting. So one of our staff, her nephew, and he's come through our programs, and he's just such a great kid. He was an amazing soccer player. And the summer right before his senior year of high school, he tore his ACL. And it was a big injury. It was a big letdown. The doctor said to him, hey, this is what you've done since you were in kindergarten. You have played soccer, and you are going to really struggle with what is your identity now that you're not playing soccer? And so the doctor, like, I think gave him a journal and was like, I want you to write it down. And I like, write down your feelings. Let's figure out how to cope. And there will be someday, because you're a healthy kid, you're going to rebound. But we want to make sure that you can get back in and play your sport and live your life and be healthy. But you're going to really struggle for a couple of months. Yeah. And so during that time, he just poured his thoughts into his notebook and, you know, found some like water polo and things that were a little less, you know. So there was things, but his identity was being an athlete.
It's a real thing. And like, not a lot of people, you know, it goes from like you playing like a college sport even, and like most of your day and your time's taken up, and then you graduate and you're no longer like in school and you don't have your sport, and you're like, who am I even more? So
yeah, I'm more identified as a non-athlete. I've never been on an organized team, so I can't even imagine what that would be like. And so you've really kind of, you're now at, with the personal training and with other wellness types of things, you've gotten hooked up with the Phoenix,
yes.
Right? So can you talk more about that? What is the Phoenix?
So the Phoenix is a nonprofit organization that started in Denver, and it is just like free physical and fitness activities for people who are in recovery. So
now AA recovery or any kind of
any type. It's whatever you think that your definition of recovery is, which is what I really love, because it's there's no rules to it. It's whatever you define as, and it can be any type of recovery.
Awesome. Awesome. So how do people find you if they want to get hooked up? Like, what kinds of, are there, you know, flag football games? Is it rugby? Like, what, how do they find out?
So right now it's really just leading hikes and personal training, like gym class, group fitness type sessions. And then I just finished my yoga certification.
Cool.
So I'll be doing some like yoga in the park, meditation type things coming here soon. And there's an app, it's the Phoenix, and from there you can find like any classes, but it's also cool because they have like on-demand classes, so you can do like there's some workout videos on there, yoga, meditation that you can do anytime. You can join Zoom classes with people all over the country.
Very cool.
Like some CrossFit classes or just anything. And then there's even now, there's like a little subgroup for people in St. Louis.
Okay.
So you can also meet with other like-minded individuals in St. Louis who, and you know, go like on a hike with them,
yeah,
or just go grab coffee or whatever. It's just a nice way to meet people.
And you don't talk about
meetings.
Recovery the whole time?
Not at all.
No. Okay, great. Because some people are like, cool, and I don't want to talk about not drinking the whole time.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That's kind of the point of it, is it can be a discussion, but also like if you're, you know, getting like a good workout in and you're out of breath, like you don't have to talk to anybody.
That's
you
true.
You just have to get through
that's
your workout.
That's very true. That's a good excuse to like not have to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
So I heard a little birdie named Max told me that this fall you are going back to school.
Yes.
And you're going to be exploring the connection between like outdoor space and okay, talk more about that. Fill
so
in the gaps, because I know enough to be dangerous.
It is a master's in sustainability and environmental studies. So the difference between environmental science and studies is more of like psychology and sociology impacting the environment. And sustainability, I want to combine that with psychology to just make a more like intentional living. So kind of like the mind, body, soul, earth connection, and tying that into recovery and teaching people in recovery how to just take care of themselves better and the environment, and like the journey that you will go on through that.
And it's one of the, I don't know if you're familiar with the eight dimensions of wellness, but one of the dimensions of wellness, there's financial and emotional and things like that. And one is environmental. And it's like, not everyone can go out and just, you know, be one with the trees, but being in nature is actually like very cathartic and very very soothing.
Yeah, I read a book on forest bathing, and it is cool. Forest bathing?
What is that?
So, like, in Japan, they have these, like, intentional green spaces where you can go and just, like, fully, like, immerse yourself in nature, and you can do it throughout your work day. Like, they're in big cities. It would be, like, taking a break and going to Forest Park and just, like, listening to the sounds and taking a walk through the park and just getting, like, all of your five senses, like, totally
immersed. Forest bathing. I've not heard of that term, but I mean, I get it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So what is next for you? I mean, your path has definitely wound. And I mean, you're a mom, so that's super cool. Shout out to Olivia, who cannot hear us talking because she's what, like, 1.5? Not even one. Okay,
like,
great.
No, 11 months.
11 months. Yes. Okay, but we'll give her a shout out anyway. So your mom, you're pursuing this degree, and like, what do you hope for, like, the sense of community and the spirit that you're trying to bring into St. Louis?
Just be able to, you know, grow a recovery community that's outside of meetings so that people have the opportunity to meet other people and not have that intimidation. And then also just to kind of, like, educate people on recovery and exercise and helping yourself and helping the environment and how that can even, like, further develop into helping the community. And
that's awesome.
You if help yourself and you can help others along the way. And it's, like, through just really simple, easy, and, like, fun things.
Will you teach a yoga class at Prevent Ed?
Sure.
Okay, awesome. And what if Olivia says she wants to do rugby when she grows up?
I'll say yes.
Okay, all right.
And it'll definitely... I will be, like, super mama bear about anyone that tackles her.
Okay.
But I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can only, and, like, especially with Max, can only assume the type of person that she's going to be growing up.
She's going to be like, let me at him, you know?
She is.
That is amazing. Alexis, thank you so much for saying yes and for being here and for sharing your story. I know it takes a lot, and I really appreciate you doing that. And it's really all for such a good reason, which is so that people can listen and find, you know, some point of what you talked about and be able to empathize and be like, yeah, that's me too. Like, I struggle with not being an athlete, or I have struggled after injury, or, you know what, I want to go forest bathing. So I know I'm gonna use that term. So thank you so much for being here. If you like this conversation, if you want more, please consider rating, reviewing, and subscribing to The Preventable. Have a great day, Alexis.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by Prevent Ed. Prevent Ed works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at prevented.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.